You know, suffering is a series of sermons that I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. And we're going to go back to that today. And I don't have the answer as to why suffering, but I know it is a question that is in the back of all of our minds. And when I think just a few weeks ago, I learned news coming from my hometown where I was born and reared, in San Antonio, Texas, of a catastrophe, of something that, wow, how could that be? That now I look at the death toll, and I see that that could have been me. I'm talking about Mystic, Texas. I'm talking about the dead and missing of over 100 young people who only went there to worship God. These were Christians in Mystic, Texas, Camp Mystic. Pray for them. Father, right now we pray for them. We ask for your grace and your mercy. We ask that those who are missing will be reunited with their parents, and those who are maybe wounded or cut by glass as the water rushed through. I pray for healing for them. I pray for miracles. And I ask, Father, that you would turn our hearts off of ourselves and put our trust in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the big question still lingers out there. If there's a God, how could he allow his children, those who are worshiping him, to die, to be suffocated through water and through breathing? Is it because that they did something wrong? Is it because they were evil? No, these are people who are trying to do what's right for all we know. Why, God? Why? Why suffering? Why death? In Luke chapter 13, verses 4 through 5. We're going to go through a few scriptures today. I hope will enlighten all of us. I mean, were there something evil about these kids? It looks like there's something good about them. Can we earn our salvation by doing good things and be saved? So why you enter that, Pastor? Because sometimes we think that we have earned God's good favor. No, it is a gift of God. Today, I want us to look at suffering as a wake-up call. A wake-up call to put our trust in God alone, trusting him, not trying to earn our salvation by and through him, but trusting him. Suffering is a call to trust God. It is a wake-up call to put our trust in him and not try to find ourselves so good or earn salvation that God would have to choose us. No, that's not the way it is. In Luke 13, 4 through 5, suffering is a call and others to turn to God through faith alone. And so the question was asked in the days of Jesus when they had this a worship service, let's put it that way, in Jerusalem. And this great tower called Siloam fell on top of these worshipers and killed a great number of them. Tower of Siloam, look it up later on. And so the question was, did they do something evil? Referencing a call to trust God, not life-sustaining props that we depend on. We depend on being in tip-top shape, eating properly. I try to eat natural foods, da-da-da-da-da. Is that where my faith is? Sometimes I have to stop and, wonder. Am I depending on nature to keep me healthy? And that we should eat good and eat right and do healthy things and exercise. But am I depending on me working so and walking so many miles a day that I'm going to be in good health? Let's examine ourselves. Or do we depend on God? And if we don't do the violence and walking and eating, then something happens and we say, well, where's God? No. God wants us to trust him. And he allows suffering even around us as a wake-up call to put our trust in him and him alone. See, we can get so good at exercising, you know, building those pecs and, you know, biceps and all of this and eating the raw natural foods and all that. We don't need to depend on God, you know, for help because we go to the health food store. Can I get an amen? We need to watch ourselves. And we need to put our faith in God for everything. So Jesus asked the question, do you think that they were worse than others, worse off than others who lived in Jerusalem? He said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We will perish. Reliance on suffering to put our trust in God, in Christ alone. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 9, about this great catastrophe. We don't hear much about it. But he says, where are you putting? Here's a big question. Suffering is a wake-up call to put our trust in God alone and nothing else. Yes, God wants us to do good things, exercise, eat, whatever you do. Using wisdom, blah, blah, blah. But don't let that become an idol. An idol. God is our Savior. Trust God. He is our life. Now listen to this. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 through 18. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians. Ah, he's got it all up there. Thank you, Elder Joe, for putting that up there. 2 Corinthians 4. We're trying to understand why suffering. 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to read along with you off the screen, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart, though the outer self is wasting away. Every morning I get up, I say, where'd you go, Earl Williams? Where'd you go? Why should I be surprised? So we don't lose heart on that. That's not where my faith is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes my wife says, go watch that faith. No, she's talking about my face. So we do not lose heart, Paul wrote, though our outer self is wasting away. Can we say amen on that? Therefore, if we could, we would not be shocked when we are sick or someone dies. See, that's not where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus, and our home is in heaven. So if we lose this home here, then we can say amen. Thank you, Lord. You've got something better for me. I don't have to be down and depressed because I'm not making it like I want to make it. You have prepared a house for us. So don't lose heart. That's to all of us listening, including myself. Don't lose heart. Though your outer self is wasting away. Yes, even in sickness, headed towards death. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Ought to be getting stronger. Day by day, not from our Wheaties, not from our, you know, strength pills we swallow. It's fine. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just trying to get your attention. Eat right. Exercise, all of that. So we make it sound like it's bad. No, it's bad to put your trust in it because it's going to fail you. We're going to die, folks. News, Channel 14 News. We're all going to die. But Christ came to give us life, new life in him. For this light momentary affliction, this momentary afflictions of getting, you know, I pull my muscle in my leg or whatever it is, that's momentary. What we are building for is something that is eternal. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Glory, hallelujah. We all are going to partake of the glory of the Lord. Not for a minute, not for a second, but for eternity. Ah, how wonderful. What a future we have. an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, things though we look to that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transparent. I can show you this building, that house, this money, this car. That's not where our heart is. So therefore, when we die, when we get sick, it is a call to trust God, not in the stuff we've got. See what I'm saying? We can get it misplaced. You can't give yourself eternal life, but God can. And he wants us to trust him. See, that suffering we go through, it's a wake-up call. Wake up. Time for your coffee. Wake up. It's time to get on your knees. Wake up. It's time to lift your hands. Wake up. It's time to praise the Lord, for we will praise him forever and ever and ever. For the things that are seen that we cry over so much are transient, Paul wrote. They're temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Unseen things like prayer, things like praising God, thanking God, loving others, caring for others, like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. What about you? We all need Jesus. Father in heaven, we come before you to thank you that by your grace, we're in your presence. By your love, we're in your care. And even when we suffer, we want to thank you. Even when we hurt, we know that you love us. And that's just temporary. It's transient. We're glad that you are eternal. Help us, Father. Change our hearts, O Lord, that we would desire the things that cannot change. Your word, your love, and to be like you, and to share your love and your comfort. For there's so many people, our brothers and sisters, those we in our neighborhood we don't know maybe that well, they're suffering. They need others who suffer. You see, God gives us suffering so that we can help others who suffer. So that's the good news. It's not that so we can have more and more and better, but he gives us less and less sometimes. He gives us the needs so we can understand and so that others can understand. When we come to them, we can they say, hey, man, you've been through that too. Not, yeah, girl, I went through that too. I didn't know you went through that. Then let me tell you about my problem. And therefore, we're here to have joy through loving and giving others and bringing Jesus. 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 What the world needs now is Jesus. It needs the love of God. So, Father, give us opportunities to share what's really important and to be able to relate to others who are suffering, and that we can teach them by our example to put trust in you. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time for the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, listen to the word of the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Notice the outward projection. It's for you. It's for you. We should live lives of bread and of wine. Our lives are for others. Jesus came to give us life, and he gave us life not to put it in a bottle and store it away, but to serve and to give to others. And as we prepare to eat this bread and drink our wine, let us examine ourselves as to whether or not we're doing it, and then eat and drink and live that life by his Spirit. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you." God wants us to be bread and to be wine to our families, to our friends and neighbors, and to others. They need the Lord. The blessing is the Lord lives in us to be for us, for others. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is good news for us and for others. You see, suffering, the breaking of the bread and wine, it all projecting suffering, but suffering for others, not just suffering for ourselves. And we need to examine ourselves to see if we are for us and we are only looking out for ourselves. Or do we realize that we have been called to be bread and wine for those who do not know Christ? Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, in a selfish manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to, and a woman ought to, examine him or herself before we eat of the bread or drink of the cup. Examine ourselves. Remember I said that suffering is a wake-up call to put trust in God and be for others what Christ is for us. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body, that is, recognizing what the body of the Lord is for, eats and drinks judgment to himself. That is why many among us, many among you, are weak, sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. God wants us to realize that suffering is a wake-up call to put our trust in God and be that light, be that bread, and be that wine to those who are hungry and thirsty for the Lord. So Father, we ask that you would bless us, and you would give us that fervor, that joy, that peace to share the body and the blood of the Lord, and that others would be blessed. Thank you, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to sing Grace to Grace. You know, I forgot to pray over the bread and wine. Hold on one moment, please. Let me pause just a moment. Father, we thank you for your Son being our bread and our wine. And as we eat the bread and drink the wine, let us experience the life of your Son. And let that life go out to others. And that we put our total trust in you and not in material things, but in Christ alone. Not in ourselves and our abilities or our bank accounts, but in what we don't have. Help us to trust in you and to share it with others. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, grace to grace.
Precious is my Savior's blood. Your beauty of heaven wrapped in my shame. The image of love upon the
Till I
chains are gone. My debt is paid from death to life and grace to grace.